Please turn with me now in your Bibles to the book of Colossians, again, the first chapter. Colossians chapter 1. We're going to pick up our reading where Mr. Sterrett left off at verse 18. Colossians 1, verse 18. And Christ is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you, that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God. Even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to this working, which worketh in me mightily. We know the Lord will bless his own precious word. Let's bow, please, for prayer. Our Father, we are confronted tonight with a mountain peak of the Word of God. And these words that we have read are powerful words. They are mighty words. They are words that exalt our Lord Jesus Christ. And we are thankful for this written revelation that we have in our own language. We are thankful, O God, that this has come down to us and it has been preserved, the living Word of God. And we ask that we will know the Scripture not only in our minds, but we will know it, O God, in our hearts. We will taste and see that the Lord is good, the living, the incarnate Word that has come down, the living Christ. And we ask that we will be a testimony for Him and that our lives will shine brightly for the Master. O God, have mercy upon us and forgive us for our sin. Forgive us, Lord, for the times in which we go astray from the things of God and we bring dishonor to Thy name. Lord, have mercy and forgive us, we pray. And we know that as we come to plead the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. O God, we thank Thee tonight, and we bless Thee for all Thy mercy and kindness to us. Now hear our prayer. Help me tonight, Lord, to deliver the Word of God faithfully and clearly. Do not let anyone misunderstand. And we pray that some soul that may be here without Christ would come under strong conviction of sin and would cry out, Lord, what must I do to be saved? And the rest of us who know the Lord, we will be edified and built up in our most holy faith, that we will mix the Word of God with faith, that we may grow thereby. Lord, we need help. The mine of Scripture is very deep. In one sense, we have nothing to draw with. And therefore, we come and pray that we'll have hearing ears and understanding hearts. And Lord, open the Scriptures to us. We know there is a blessing, Lord, just upon the reading of the Word itself. And therefore, come and give grace tonight to help us to understand Thy precious Word. Help us, Lord, we pray, to go on from strength to strength. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. At the beginning of this year, I left with you a motto text that had to do with cleaving unto the Lord, and to cleave unto Him with all your heart, with all the purpose that you have inside, that you might come to desire, I want to go on and through with the Lord. And that challenge I brought to you, I believe, was God's message for all of us here, myself included, most definitely. I pray that God will stir my own heart, that I will know His reviving touch, that I will know the power of the Lord upon my own life, that I might be fit to help and to lead you as the minister that God has set over the congregation here. Going on with God and continuing in your faith is vital, because if you do not go on, you are in that sense going back. You really cannot stay in one sense in the middle or neutral ground, because if you are not progressing forward, you are in essence going backward. And we do not want to play at church. We've talked to you about that. We don't want to go through the motions of just coming and singing and reading and then going home at the end after hearing a message and saying, well, that was me done for church for another week, and dust off your hands. We have to have more than that. And we want more from the Lord in this regard. And therefore, this idea of continuing in our faith and continuing in the Word of God, why it will be an evidence that we truly love the Savior. It's going to be an evidence that we are disciples of Christ, disciplined ones that desire to go on. And as we continue in the Word, in the promises of God, it will give us confidence with God and with men. So many times we are afraid to speak the Word of the Lord to men, because we're afraid of what they think about us or how they're going to perceive our life, our intellect, our status, our standing. But yet, as we mentioned to you this morning, the Apostle Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. And my friend, because the gospel is that power to us, and we do not want to dishonor the blood of our Lord, the blood whereby we have been redeemed, let us esteem it highly. Because when we esteem the blood of Christ highly, we esteem the person of our Redeemer highly. And having done that, we want to be a testimony to Him. When we consider then the promises that He gives us and the Word that we have, that as we immerse ourselves in it, it will give us spiritual purity and prosperity as we submit ourselves to the Scripture. And we say, Lord, I want to be holy as God my Father is holy. I want to live and mirror the image of Christ. I want to have His mind. And as we indwell in the Word and mine out its very great worth, then we will find this is our portion. The Word of God and continuing in it will prepare us for our service. Reading the Scripture, memorizing it, hiding it in your heart will help you in your work and service that you have to do, whether it is Sunday school work, whether it's being involved in ladies' ministries, whether it's involved in any kind of outreach or the seniors' home. The more you have of Christ's Word in you, the more you're going to prepare yourself for His work and service. Then, of course, as we continue in reading the Scripture, the Word will help us in persevering through trial and difficulty. In order for us to go on with God as individuals and as a body of Christ here, This has to be the mark. This has to be our testimony. For the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. And the only way that we will know the Lord better is to take use of the tool He has given us. It is His own precious Word. And feeding on the Scriptures as our daily habit, it will be that which puts steel into our bones and enables us to stand strong. Reminding you last Lord's Day evening that from Ephesians chapter 4, if we are not maturing and growing in our grace, in our faith, if we are but children in faith, we're going to be blown about by every wind of doctrine. Or as Mr. Spurgeon said, you'll be like the weathercock on top of the barn. Every time the wind blows in a different direction, it's turning in a different way. And that's exactly the way we are if we're not firm in the Scriptures. We have to have a common sense approach and a clear perspective in the midst of this very hostile world that is against us. I want to draw your attention tonight in this portion of the Word of God to verse 23. And it goes right along with what we're thinking about. If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. When you have and are grounded and settled in the Scripture and in your faith, you will have the evidence of a firm standing in Christ. The words in our text where it says, be continuing in the faith. I also reminded you of this last Lord's Day, that the words, the faith, they are often put for the entire gospel and all that Christianity represents. It sometimes stands for the faith of the individual Christian, but it very often stands more so for the entire incorporated faith of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Look back in verse 4 of Colossians 1. Paul said, since ye heard, or since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all saints. So he is targeting them as individual believers and saying, I have heard your testimony. It has come to me. I've heard about your faith. And the fact that your faith is being spoken of is a great blessing to others. Would that be said of this congregation, of you in your workplace, of those testimonies that go far and wide? Are people going to be able to write back or speak and say, yes, I know so-and-so that attends that fellowship, and their faith is strong in the Lord. The faith of this people in general is strong. And so Paul was saying, your faith is well spoken of. But he then goes on to say in our text, if ye continue in the faith of the gospel, the faith that is representative of all the truth of the Word of the living God, the gospel that has cleansed us from our sin, the gospel that speaks about a loving God, a God who has given His only begotten Son to die for sinful men, the gospel that teaches us that we are not only to love God, we are to love our neighbors as ourselves. The gospel that declares the righteousness of God in Christ and pleading with men everywhere to repent. The gospel that tells us, Lord, not my will, but thy will be done. And the gospel that stands true for the crown rights of King Jesus in a day and time when much and many are turning away from the truth of God's Word. You see, continuing in the faith is evidenced by being grounded and settled in the hope of the gospel, which is, as verse 27 of our text or our chapter tells us, the hope of Christ, the hope in you. And so when we possess this hope of glory, we possess the knowledge of Christ. Why, it tells us that we have been delivered from our sin. We've been delivered from the power of darkness. And we've been set upon the rock of our salvation. And we know the way we are going. Do you have that confidence in you, Christian? Do you have that faith in you that has been tested, tried, proven? You want to go on and through with God? We must continue in the faith, grounded and settled in everything that it represents. Yes, we are told that the gospel has delivered us from our sin. Verse 14 speaks about redemption through the blood and also the forgiveness of our sins. So what does it mean if you know where you stand in the Lord? It means you know that you have been justified fully and freely, and there's nothing else that has to be added in order for you to be justified and accepted in the eyes of God. So you can't properly continue in your faith if you don't have that fundamental and key issue settled in your mind. Putting it to you quite frankly, if you're still uncertain if you really know the Lord, if you're not clear if you're truly converted and saved, if you haven't made your calling and election sure, you can't go on to the next step. You can't be grounded and settled in your faith if you're still wondering, am I saved? Am I not saved? Do I believe in God? Do I not believe in God? Believer, this is a primary point that must be settled in your own mind. And how will you have it settled? You'll not have it settled by anyone else trying to convince you about it. You will only have that matter settled about your own personal assurance of salvation by coming back to the Word of the living God. You must find your confidence only in the Scripture. And when Jesus Christ said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out, you have the confidence of Christ's Word that if you have laid yourself upon him, if you have come to cast yourself upon the Lord, and you've come to him for salvation, that he will not, he cannot turn you away. He cannot refuse anyone who comes to him in simple, childlike faith. And so when you get that matter settled, that we are kept by the power of God through faith, and it's not our keeping, for we couldn't keep ourselves in the Lord. We never put ourselves in there to begin with. It was by the grace of God that we were brought to Christ. And it's by his grace and power and merit that we are kept in him. And so we know our standing. We know that we are secure in him. And so once we have that secured in our own mind, then we can realize there is a step forward. There is a going on. The Apostle Paul said, I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. But here's a warning. Because not everyone who comes and says that they are a Christian are truly saved people. Not everyone who is going to stand before the Lord at the end and say, Lord, Lord, have we not done this and that in your name? Not everyone who simply names the name of Christ is going to be in heaven. There has to be a root of faith in the heart. It has to be done on the inside. And that work of God's grace is something that is absolutely knowable for the believer. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And when we are rooted and grounded in Christ, our roots go down in him, and our sustenance is drawn up from the Savior. Friend, am I speaking something to someone tonight and you're completely ignorant of these things? You don't know the Lord in your heart? You've never come to say, Lord, save me from my sins? Lord, convert me, change me from the inside out, give me a new nature? If you've never asked the Lord for that, then tonight is the night you need to make that matter settled. And I might be talking to someone here who is very, very young, a young person. The youngest one here tonight in this very church. Do you know if you're ready to meet the Lord? Do you have the peace of God in your young heart? Young person, Don't miss out on this. You can know for certain that you are truly saved by the Lord's grace. We are said to be built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself, the chief cornerstone. And because we are built upon the Word of God, that's really what that means, the prophets as they spoke the Word of God, the apostles as they were used to write the Word of God under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So the Word of God is our foundation, and Christ, the incarnate Word, is the great cornerstone upon which we are built. And when we have the knowledge of our firm standing in Christ, then we can go forward to the next step, and we can go on with Him. And what is the next step of continuing in our faith? Why? It will be evidenced by our standing firm for the Lord, not moved away from the hope of the gospel. Standing firm for the hope and truth of the gospel is a teaching which has been set aside sometimes too often in the name of tolerance. The word tolerant has become kind of a buzzword today in the modern Christianity, and it covers over or it ignores certain inequities with the Word of God and compromise of biblical truth. And therefore, we have to be very careful. We are to be tolerant people in our own characters. We are to be tolerant of others who make mistakes, tolerant of others because we ourselves are also prone to the same type of personality defects. Our manners may be wrong. Our behavior may be wrong. Our idiosyncrasies may be many. We're not talking about that. We need a double dose of tolerance and patience to one another because really the love of Christ and the love of the gospel and the love we have one to another in the Lord is going to be expressed by those evidences of tolerance that we have. But not talking about that here, because sometimes people abuse that word tolerance to excuse the disobedience of God's word. And whether it's disobedience in an individual Christian or disobedience in a congregation or a church fellowship or ministry, the Lord requires of us obedience to His Word. And indeed, the Lord said to Samuel, or Samuel said to Saul, that to obey is better than to sacrifice. When you think about the whole Old Testament economy, chatting about that this morning, the whole Old Testament economy that God instituted to be followed closely, and every offering, every sacrifice, every feast that was to be remembered. And yet the Lord said, sacrifice, I'm not interested in that when it comes to your obedience to me. I want first of all your obedience. I want your heart obedience. Don't tell me about all the stuff you're going to give me, because the Lord doesn't need your stuff. He doesn't need your activity. But He requires and wants our obedience to Him. And that's going to mean that, as the Scripture tells us, to be careful to follow after Him and to have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but to come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. For what fellowship is light with darkness? Or what concord has Christ with Belial? And He has told us to love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. And this principle of separation is clearly set forth from Genesis right through to Revelation. And it should impact our personal lives and also our church life, these two things together. The talk today about being tolerant of other believers who may have a different way of serving the Lord, well, that's reasonable because we have differing views on many issues in the Scripture, and a true ecumenism, a true ecumenical spirit is that we are central on the fundamental teachings of the Word. But whether a person might have a varying view on eschatology, or a varying view on baptism, a varying view on church polity. Those things are those differences that we might still say we trust and love brothers and sisters in Christ, though our differences may be there. But what we have to be careful of is that we don't use this idea of tolerance to excuse those sins and those things that are directly opposed in the Scripture that the Lord is very clear about. We're called to a battle. We're not called to a picnic. The Apostle Paul said we are to war a good warfare. We are to fight the good fight of faith. We are set for the defense of the gospel. And in Colossians 1 and verse 28, it says here, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Jesus Christ, teaching and warning. You see, that's part of the gospel ministry. It is to set forth clearly what the Lord said. And Jude, in his letter in the New Testament, who desired to speak of the common faith, he said, it was needful for me to speak earnestly, or to speak and earnestly contend for the faith that was once for all delivered unto the saints. You see, if we are to continue in the faith, there will be times of contention. And not just with those who are the open enemies of the gospel, but with those who have compromised the faith and have adopted and taken on things that are not true and correct in the Word. The end does not justify the means. And if you've heard people say that, that was one of the dictums of Loyola, the founder of the Jesuit society. The end does not justify the means for us. We have a higher calling, and that which we must stand firm in our doctrine, in our teaching of the Word of God. What is the problem? Why many of us as Christians are weak today? It's because we are a doctrineless church in this modern world. There's a lot put forward to entertain, a lot put forward that's going to please the people. But my friends, let's come back to the solid teaching of the Word, and let's not be unsettled. Mr. Spurgeon said this. He spoke of Christians who were never settled. He said they were trees transplanted every week, and they would soon die. How many Christians are transplanting themselves constantly, even regarding their doctrinal sentiments, unstable, and like the weathercock on the steeple, they turn as the wind blows. How will you stand firm and continue in the faith that the Lord has called you to? Friend, you're going to stand firm and continue by feeding yourself on Christ and on His own precious truth. You're going to be strengthened in your faith by sitting under the regular preaching of the Word of God, morning and evening and midweek. You're going to be a part of the life, the heartbeat of what's going on here in the ministry. And as I challenge you this morning, everyone here should be at the morning Bible class as we start out on the Lord's Day to drink in as much as you can. Being here at the morning service, at the evening service, being a part of every aspect of the ministry. And certainly, as I challenge you often about being here at the prayer meeting on Wednesday evening, and if you're not here to be at least your family represented, how can you be strong in the Lord and encourage those around you that there is a testimony that must be born? There is a work that must be done. You have to apply yourself to the means of grace that God has given in the preaching and the teaching of His Word. Those who have the responsibility of handling the Scriptures take time to seek God for the Word. Take time to prepare and study and put together the meal, the feeding of the Word. But yet, if there aren't people here to receive that feeding, why, you lose out on that nutrition. And I know that daily readings are good and they're okay. But my friend, daily reading books are not to replace the study of the Scripture, and they're certainly not to replace the under the preaching and the teaching of God's own truth. And then, of course, regular attendance at the Lord's table. And this is where I must commend each one of you, for you take seriously the Lord's table as we meet around His table once a month. And as far as I know, every believer in our congregation wants to be here and remembering the Lord's death in His own appointed manner. And I'm so blessed by that and encouraged by it as a pastor, because you take these things very seriously. And these are vital and important things. And the Lord promises that as you take His things seriously, He will bless you. And He will pour out His blessing on you. And you will be strengthened with might in the inner man. Then, of course, giving your attendance to the things that are to do with the ministry of our church by your support and help, whether it be the Good News Bible Club, we're making this appeal tonight, or whether some other ministry that you are involved with or you can be involved with. And here is another important way which I fear is neglected very often among modern Christians, and that is giving attendance to reading good books, good material. The Scripture tells us that we are to give attendance to reading. And I know as much as any one of you that the busyness of life often robs us of the joy of sitting down with that book, that good book. Don't read trash. Don't read garbage. Don't read romance novels and all that sort of garbage. If you're going to read a book, get into a good novel, a good book. Get into a biography. Get into a good teaching, a doctrinal book to edify your spirit. You don't have much time left. Don't waste your time reading those other things. Read things that are going to be profitable for you in the gospel. We are to stand firm for Him. You will be misrepresented, by the way, in doing this. You'll be misrepresented as Micaiah, the Old Testament prophet, was, as he was called to take his stand before Jehoshaphat and Ahab, and he stood for the Lord, and they caused him to go to prison. You'll be misunderstood as Jeremiah was. Jeremiah the prophet had to be let down into the prison, and he sunk down into the mire. Why? Because he was God's faithful prophet in a time when the word of God was not desired, not wanted. Maligned, maybe, will be your lot as the Apostle Paul was. But we suffer persecution. As Acts 14:22 tells us, Paul said, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. So, friend, be encouraged tonight. The Lord wants us to go on with Him. The Word is before us. We have all the tools that we need. Let us take hold of these things which God has blessed us with, so that you are sure that you're rooted and grounded and going onward and forward in Him. Let's bow in prayer. Dear Father, I pray that the Word tonight would rest in all our hearts. Lord, when my words are silent and gone and forgotten, let not Thy Word be forgotten. Impress this verse of Scripture upon each heart. Dear God, I pray that for any who are still unsaved, they would call out, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Save from the very youngest child in our church to the oldest member, the oldest one who maybe thought they were saved, they thought they were converted, Lord, but really they have no peace and no assurance. Lord, I ask that you would do this night a saving and a convicting and converting work. Bless each one of us as thy children. Help us to go on with God. Forgive us for the times of our failure. And, O Lord, may we walk in the center of thy perfect will. Hear our prayers now and bless us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.